Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Job. Job. That is going to be a little part for you. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus. One of the minor prophets, Job. I'll be reading to you from the second chapter of Job, beginning at the 21st verse. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, where the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield with their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father, again, as we come to you, Lord, so empty, asking, O God, that you just fill us. Fill us, O Lord, with the words that you would have spoken, and not ours. We ask you, God, to be with us each and every one. Lord, that you'll touch us in the very way that we need. Lord, we are nothing without you. We just ask you, God, to take over the service. Use it for the full use of your glory. Amen. In studying the word there a little bit, I was so impressed, I might say, and I guess the older you get, the more you are impressed with the things of the world, especially this time of year. When you go out there and you go for a walk or what have you, and you see the everything coming to life, the buds and the flowers and all this, and it's so impressed upon me, and I said, surely there must be some scriptures that goes along with it. Joel kind of hit it there a little bit when he's talking about the fruits of the harvest. And he was also talking about of the times that the church had gone through, how Israel had been put into a position that was tough. They had been in captivity. And they had gone through probably a storm. And as we were talking there a while ago, those folks that are down south have witnessed a storm. And all around, it just seems, as I said, it just seems like that there's trouble brewing everywhere. That it's just a storm attack just everywhere you look. And as he was saying there, it That storm is going to cease. And God is going to bless. Getting back to the nature of the thing, did you ever think about, and this, you'll love this now, the birds? No, she doesn't think of the birds. But I would, where we live, you know, you see the birds come back in the springtime when they've been south and they come back. And you see the robins running around in your yard. They'll build a nest any place they can, you know, on your windowsill or wherever. The little birds, they build the trees and they do this. But we associate all of this around us. We kind of feel like maybe that they are a part of us. Well, when you go back up in the mountains someplace, and you're back in there miles and miles and miles away from any living creature, any peoples that is, and you see the very same thing. You see the robins there, they're building their nest in the trees and all the birds around like that. Point is, they are at home anywhere they are. They are. They don't have to depend upon stores or buses or any of this thing that we think we have to have. They're at home because God takes care of them. He does. And I got some other scriptures here. Maybe it's too much for you, but we'll read it anyhow. I love it. It comes from Luke, the 12th chapter. Now you can find that one easily. Luke 12:22-31. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow. God's promise. You see, he promised us in the book of Joel that their barns would be filled, that they would reap harvest, that he would refill all of their fields, their woods, and everything, their fruit trees, and everything would be filled where they had been destroyed by these pestilence. Wow. And you know, that kind of hits us a little bit today. We are in the midst of probably the worst of the pestilence that we have ever seen as of now, but it will get worse. These bugs that are coming around every which way and invading us and tearing up our crops and all this and that and the other things, it would seem that they are destroying our livelihood itself. And they do make it tough. One of the biggest, probably, problems that we have today that you don't even consider. is the little tiny honeybee. That little tiny honeybee that if you step on him with a bare foot, he's going to sting you. But that little honeybee makes thousands and thousands of trips to the, from his hive out into the fields and the flowers and the trees blooming as they are right now. Go out and look on your apple trees today when you go home. And your flowers around and about your yard, and count to see how many honeybees you'll find. Now you'll find wasps, you'll find bumblebees. See how many honeybees you see. You probably won't see a one, because they're just about gone. Back a few years back, we kept bees, and I really enjoyed it because it's a study. Beyond what you can even imagine, the honeybee itself. But he's just about gone. Without the honeybee flying from flower to flower to pollinate, they don't do anything. So you consider that as just exactly what part is gone, you say. This happened in the book of Joel. He was talking about there how the cankerworms and this and that destroyed their crops. But he said he would return. And he will replenish these things that were taken away by the pestilence. Yes. That is yet to come. We struggle every day, as that last scripture that I just read to you. We struggle to clothe ourselves, to eat of the very finest that we can eat, to drink of the very bestest of waters, polluted waters that you better not drink, have to be treated, has to go through a filter. We just bought one of them little pitcher things, you know what you mean? You pour the water in the top of it, goes through the charcoal, comes out the other end pure. I always thought it was a gimmick, something to sell, you know. But believe me, when you make a pot of coffee out of the spigot, and you make a pot of coffee out of the filtered water, you'll know the difference. You will know the difference. But you know, back up in the mountain there where we were out there in Long Moose. Came there, there's a little pipe coming out of the hill there. Catch that water. Ooh, that was good. Point is, we as creatures have tried every way that we can to destroy all the good things that God has given us. He has made it possible for us to eat, to drink, to be clothed. And what do? We abuse it every time. Every bit of it, we would abuse it. But he says, as he did there in the book of Joel, where they had lost so much, but he said, he's going to return. He's going to return. Looking forward for the day when Christ shall come and restore all of these good things to this old earth that we have tried to destroy. Can you imagine being able just to eat, drink, be clothed, and all these things that he was talking about there in perfection? Yes. We don't all like the same things, so we see things a little bit different. And we say, well, I wouldn't wear that towel. And said, man, you look good in it. But, and all these things, but God knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need. He knows what we need to eat. He knows what we need to drink. He said that the lily of the field. grows, it doesn't have to have a dresser. It doesn't have to have someone to cultivate it. It doesn't have to have this, that, or the other thing. But he said Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. Solomon had all riches that he could possibly ask for. He had everything. At the snap of his finger, he had everything that he wanted or could even think about. But yet, he did not compare to a lily that was growing out there in the field. God's work is so much better than man's work. It's so much higher and so much greater that sometimes we feel like we can improve upon it. No way. Because when God built something, when he made something, it was perfect. This body that we live in was perfect.
Amen. No.
Well, and then look around some of them and say, no. He looked at me, yeah, no, it ain't perfect. No, it was not. But God, the body that God built in the beginning was a perfect body. We, as from that day forward, started to tear it up. And today, there's no limit to what people will do to their body. Put all kinds of trash in and it's destroying us. Probably, Cindy, you would know, I'm in a medical society here, I know that. You know a whole lot more about it than I do. But if these diseases that we have, these faults and these things were traced back, we'll probably find that it's our own fault. That it was not made by God. That it was our own fault. And we have to now try to remedy something that we have created within us or not. Yeah. You wonder, some of these people back here in the Bible times, how they lived so many years. Wow. 600 and something years. Wow. That's a long time. Can you imagine what we'd look like 600 years old? Huh? Yes, in 75 years, maybe you look like this. Boy, you don't want me another 60. God's good to us. He provides everything that we need. Cindy asked a question this morning in the Sunday school class. How do we see Jesus? How do we know Jesus? So many times if you would ask somebody, and they really couldn't tell you how they can see Jesus, or what he means to them, or where he is, or all that. When you think of God, you think of what? You think of something way, way, way out there, maybe on a fuzzy little cloud, a little ball of fuzz or something out there, spirit. You think of Jesus Christ. You know, he was in the form of man here upon this earth. But when he went back, when he was resurrected, as we studied last week, each of us was changed. He was changed now into a resurrected Jesus Christ that can live anywhere he pleases. He can live in this building. He can be here, there, or everywhere at the same time. We don't understand that because that's not part of our thinking. But he can be with Cindy up in Philippines. He can be with me out there on Chubb Run. He can be with Tom over in his shop. Nell over at her home. Or he can be, and he will at all times be with all of us at the same time. And he asked me a question. And that's a good question. What does Jesus mean to you? I mean, what is he to you? Is he something that is out there floating around on a cloud somewhere that when you get in trouble, you say, come on down here, I need some help. No. I'm thinking that probably, and he said it in his scripture, he is a friend that's closer than a brother. He is a friend. that will walk with you side by side with you at all times. Whether you're in a good spirit, whether you're in a bad spirit, whether you're on your best behavior, or whether you're someplace else. He is right with us at all times. And to be there to help us, to be with us, to comfort us, to give us courage, do all these things if we just ask Him to do. But too often, we put Him in a box. We put Him in a box and say, well, I've got the Lord in a box. And we open it up every once in a while and let Him out. Sounded real silly, didn't it? Yes, it surely did. But a lot of people, Jesus Christ is in this building that we're in today. And we leave Him here when we go out the door. Yes, we have Him in a box. The box is called the church. Yes. Too often, we leave Him in the box. Instead of saying, Lord, You stay real close, because I'm going to need You today, because we know we do. Why do we not want to have this Jesus walking by our side, where He can take care of all these things? He said there in Joel that everything was going to be right. He's looking forward down the road when He returns. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of seeing this old corruption, all these things put aside, and everything being made brand new. Wow. That's going to be good. But you know, we don't know how soon that's coming. That could be today. It could be tomorrow. We don't know. And I praise God for the fact that we don't know. Because if we did know, we'd put her off to the last minute. Yes, we would. Just like I usually do, coming through the door at church time. Well, you know, he didn't tell us when He was coming. Well, wouldn't it be awful? I would walk up and come into the door and say, He's already been here. Woo! That would be terrible. Yes, Jesus Christ provides everything that we need. He is a friend that's closer than a brother. He's someone that can be with us wherever we are. Yes, when you're not where you should be, still right there. He won't leave you. He'll go with you all the way. And I praise Him for it. It's a privilege. It's such a privilege and such an honor and such, I can't explain it, to have Him as my friend. It's so good to know that times of trouble, yeah, and that deer jumps out in front of me. He's there. When things happen that you can't control, He's there. Regardless, sometimes we feel like, Lord, why have You forsaken me? All these things. Remember, the Son of God on the cross said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Wow. Such power. I thank Him and I praise Him for just being able to say, Lord, I'm Yours. Do with me what You can. Father, I thank You and I praise You for all Your goodness, Your mercy, for being with us, O Father, through thick and thin, through good times, through bad, times, O Lord, that we just don't know. We ask you, Father, to lead us and to guide us, to help us, O God, as we overcome those things that would set us back. We pray, Lord, you would be with each and every one of us here this morning. And help us, Lord, to know the way that you would have us to go, the thing that you would have us to do, that your kingdom, O Father, would be in the hearts of each and every one of us. Help us, Father. For Lord, we know that without you, we are nothing. Without you, Father, there's nothing to look forward to. But with you, O God, we have everything. Everything good.